Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week on Building the Bakken, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. As I mentioned, Building the Bakken is part of the Crude Life Media Network. It's not a political program, rather an informational brand. No polarizing talk, just conversations about the facts of the energy industry. Here at the Crude Life Media Network, we generate positive energy. With programs like Building the Bakken, we're able to tell the stories of the people, the communities, and the companies within the industry, those who are involved with the evolution of the Bakken oil field and the oil and gas industry. This week on Building the Bakken Radio, we talk with Dan Hetherington from SEH. It's our weekly Davis Refinery update, and we get a timeline of what the Davis Refinery project's going to look like going forward from a construction side of things now that the public comment period is all finished. Dan Hetherington with SEH and our weekly Davis Refinery update in just a moment. Here's a few other things we have happen in this program. Darren Gullihan with Petroleum Consultants a little bit later in the program. He gives us an update on the Powder River Basin, the Bakken, as well as Eastern Montana. They got some projects going on in Eastern Montana. So a little bit of an update on the Bakken, the Eastern Montana, and as well as down in the Wyoming Powder River Basin as well. And then we talk a little bit about the evolution of energy employment and how natural gas technology has changed. Excellent discussion with Darren Gullihan with Petroleum Consultants in a moment or two here on Building the Bakken Radio. And then we conclude the program with Governor of North Dakota, Doug Burgum, also a billionaire entrepreneur as well. He talks about the gas gathering technology and how the state of North Dakota, as well as the Bakken, needs it. It needs it bad to reduce flaring, but also they need the gas gathering technology to bring the Bakken to that next level of being a global player in the energy economy. All that plus much more. Oh, don't forget about the Moody River Band. That is who we are showcasing today as our singer-songwriter. The spotlight, the music that you're hearing on today's program is by the Moody River Band. All right, my name is Jason Spies. I'm your host right here on Building the Bakken Radio, and this is all on the Crude Life Media Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
When you get to know Eric, and he is so willing to share with you how growing up, you know, his life was impacted by an outstanding mom. And the challenges that he may be faced, when he's willing to open up and talk about those things, you're immediately drawn in. And that's that vulnerability that I think that he has publicly said, it's okay to be yourself. And it's okay for you to make mistakes along the way.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we talk with Dan Hetherington with SEH. This is our weekly Davis Refinery update.
Given you any loose timelines on things, I know that they can't give you specific dates and everything, but there's got to be some sort of, I would imagine there's got to be some loose timelines on this because, you know, you guys have investors and people working around the clock on this types of thing. I mean, this is, you know, every day that goes by, it costs people money. And I get that the health department and the state wants to be as thorough as they can, but at the same time, there's got to be some timelines in here. Have we gotten to that point yet, or are we still kind of in limbo?
So, you know, I in limbo is not really what I would say. So let me give you the general perspective. The state understands that we that are involved in the project have. I apologize for that. We that are involved in the project have. A desire to secure the permit as soon as possible so that we can avoid potential weather delays that are typical in North Dakota. So a quick version is, and you're well aware of this, is that winter can come on hard and fast. And so next fall, things can get really cold and really snowy very quickly. So the intent of the project, or the hope of the project, is to try to get in the ground as soon as possible, get all of our erosion control in place and our stormwater and everything like that in place, and to, you know, then at that point get footings and foundations and structures up so that the different team members that are building the project can work indoors during the winter, and that all of that, you know, that work that needs to be done outside can be done as much as possible prior to the onset of winter. Now, with that in mind, the state understands that as well. They have prioritized this project, but in reality, we understand that it's a big issue. It's a lot of information that needs to be reviewed, and they want to review it thoroughly and make sure they're paying attention to all the details that they possibly can. So it's really not in limbo, but it's more of a, you know, I think it's a commitment that everybody's made to, or everybody's in, you know, agreed to, that, you know, we're all doing the best that we can to get the information to the state, and they're doing the best they can to review things. And really, you know, just trying to get it done as soon as possible. So it's not like, oh, you know, I think that this could take, you know, 6 months or 10 months or anything like that. But I can't tell you that, you know, we think that, you know, we would like to see issuance by a given date. But I will say that all the parties that are involved are, you know, this is not something you desire to drag on and let last for a long period of time. So everybody's doing the best they can to do their portion of the work as quickly as can be done. So, you know, we understand that, and they're doing the best they can, and we're doing the best we can.
Dan Hendrington, SEH, Davis Refinery. Any final thoughts you might have here?
No, I guess really what it boils down to is that this is an exciting time for us. We're, you know, securing the permits that are necessary for the project, and everyone who was, you know, in the you know, initial development of the project understood that it was going to take some time, and but it's all coming together. Initially, people were saying things like, you know, they'll never meet the emissions threshold. Well, that's not true. You know, well, they'll never, you know, secure this permit. Well, that's not true. I mean, these projects, even though they're complicated and they get scrutinized pretty heavily, once people understand that the amount of effort and the amount of advanced technology that's being applied to this project, this is going to be a big thing for the country as a whole to see, you know, how clean refineries actually can be once they're allowed to be constructed, and once people take the initiative to use that advanced technology and actually put these things in place. So we're excited.
To listen to the full-length interview with Dan Hendrington with SEH, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, as well as our weekly Davis Refinery update, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this?
Nothing.
You need a raise.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Darren Gullahan with Petroleum Consultants.
Darren Gullahan, Petroleum Consultants.
Out of Billings, Montana, and I always like to get an update from the state of where somebody's located or even where they're at the current time, but you're located in Billings, Montana, is that correct?
That's correct.
And what's the activity like in Billings, Montana, in terms of oil activity? I guess not so much Billings, but maybe Montana itself. Are you guys doing much in the ways of Montana, or are you having to go in the neighboring states of Wyoming and North Dakota?
Yeah, we're doing a little bit in the state of Montana, but most of the activity is in the neighboring states of both Wyoming and North Dakota. The eastern Montana, Elm Coulee portion of the Bakken took off first, and then, the activity migrated over to the North Dakota side afterward.
Are you guys able to talk about any of the locations or any of the rigs and that sort of thing?
Yeah, so, we see one company drilling right now, or actually two companies out in eastern Montana, based on the drilling reports we receive, and one company is called Kraken Oil and Gas, and the other one is Denbury. And, Kraken's been active out there in eastern Montana, drilling some Bakken wells out there. And then Denbury's got their enhanced oil recovery project, out there in the Cedar Creek Anticline. With that, we still see a lot of potential in eastern Montana. The wells were completed out there in the early 2000s, through 2005, and then still today. But lion's share of the wells out there were completed with what we would call archaic completion technologies for horizontal wells by today's standards. And so, our firm, we see a lot of opportunity to go into those existing wells and use today's technology to extract more reserves. In addition to that, the professors at Montana Tech have been working on an enhanced oil recovery project. And so they've been looking at Elm Coulee from an EOR standpoint and, how can we inject gas into the formation and recover more reserves that way.
You'll have to keep us posted on that science project going on at Montana Tech. It's always good to hear that some people are, drilling in Montana, because you hear so much about North Dakota, and of course Wyoming always has energy going on, especially from the natural gas side of things and coal. But what kind of activity you guys have in the neighboring states? Are you able to talk about anything that's going on in the Wyoming or North Dakota Bakken?
Yeah, we've been active for several clients in both Wyoming and North Dakota, both on the engineering side and on the well site supervision side. We've gotten different projects in-house, and we're actively supervising some hydraulic fracture operations right now as we speak. So, we've been active on both the engineering side, helping operators out with some flare capture, flare abatement, how do we reduce flaring. That's one of the big projects that I'm working on right now. And then, we're doing some gathering system design and helping some operators out with that on the engineering side. And then we've been busy on the completion side of things as well. We made a post recently to get some more resumes in the door, and now we've got a pretty good slate of guys that can handle drilling completions and workovers or production-type issues.
I got so excited about getting an update from Montana, which, there's not a lot of updates from Montana coming these last few years, so it's good to hear. I forgot to ask you about what it is that your company does. I knew that you were doing some of the engineering things, but then you started mentioning supervisor and everything else. So give yourself a little bit of a plug, and what type of services do you guys do there?
Yeah, so Petroleum Consultants is a full-service engineering and operations firm. We could take a project from the permitting phase through the drilling phase, complete the well, monitor the production, and be there for the life of the well, all the way through the plugging. So, we like to look at ourselves as kind of a tip-to-tail, cradle-to-grave type firm, and, we can help operators out with any phase of the project along the way.
You mentioned gas gathering and some of the work you're doing there. Talk to me a little bit further about that, if you would, please. That's obviously a very big issue for the Bakken, as well as some of the other shale plays as well, especially down in Texas. But trapping those those molecules is easier said than done. The cost doesn't seem to be there. I know some of the research centers, whether it be at University of North Dakota Grand Forks, or you mentioned Montana Tech is doing some things. I don't know if they're doing the gas gathering, but it just seems like we're still in that science project phase. How are you guys doing with the gas gathering? Is it becoming economical? Are companies starting to look at it a little bit different? Talk to me further if you would.
Yeah, so we think that flare capture and hydrocarbon gas capture can be economic. We're looking at some and actively using some reefridge technologies right now that cool the heavier components of the natural gas, and then we're able to sell those components. And then working with a couple different companies to either liquefy the remaining natural gas or compress it, and then use that on drilling rigs or hydraulic fracture sites. We're also talking to different pipeline companies, and if there's a right-of-way issue or a compressor station a bottleneck, can we capture the gas, compress it or liquefy it, and then re-inject it into the pipeline downstream of the bottleneck? So it's an exciting project. It's been very fun. There's a lot of technology. There's a lot of new companies out there, and I think it's only going to get better, and I think as an industry we're going to continue to get better, and we'll see less waste of a valuable resource.
That's where I think the excitement comes, is I think we're just on the beginning of the precipice of the natural gas wave. I think that there's going to be some major advancements in technology that's going to create a whole new industry within the natural gas industry. And I think it's already started on some level, but I think we're just missing that one, that next step. And I don't know if that's a new gathering system or a new way to capture it or what that is, but do you know what I mean by that? It just seems like we're not quite there, but we're almost there with the natural gas to just make it really be robust.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the other challenges we're seeing right now is pad drilling, and pipelines are designed and it's got a stationary volume. We can't increase or decrease the size of the pipe once it's in the ground. Oil wells decline off, and so we see these pad drilling, pad completions come on with these really big IP rates, and we've got a lot of gas, initially, and then that volume declines off, and so the challenge is designing a system that is economic and can handle those big volumes up front, and how do we capture those volumes, and then also still design our infrastructure economically.
Hold that thought, Mr. Darren Gullahan with Petroleum Consultants. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
I got this blue hats, brown shoes, but old papers telling new news. Witches flying around on broken brooms.
The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
Splatter!
past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.
Mark your calendars for June 15th. That's the Bakken Barbecue. Mark your calendars today, June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue coming to Dickinson, North Dakota.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. We continue our interview with Darren Gullahan with Petroleum Consultants right here on Building the Bakken Radio on the Crude Life Media Network. And now back to our interview with Darren Gullahan with Petroleum Consultants.
My hunch might be true that we might be seeing more engineers than historically in the past, which really does ripple into new workplace and a new workforce and that sort of thing. I believe that the industry has changed so much to where a lot of people wouldn't even recognize the workforce. If they were Rip Van Winkle and they came out of a 50-year sleep, they'd look at it differently. I don't know that because I wasn't around 50 years ago, but I do think that the workforce has changed quite a bit to where we're a lot more technical and a lot more innovative now. What are your thoughts and what are your opinions on your observations of the workforce in oil and gas over the last, I don't know, decade or so?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you, Jason. You know, like we've got kids that have never experienced life without the internet or Facebook, you know, we've got engineers in the industry right now that have never drilled or completed a vertical well. And, you know, as funny as that sounds, you know, since the history of the oil field started with vertical wells. And in my career, I was fortunate to catch, you know, some of the last wave of vertical wells, but now, you know, the lion's share of wells that are drilled and completed, you know, are horizontal wells in the United States. And since that's the case, it takes more engineers to design and execute these projects. The low-hanging fruit as far as oil reserves are concerned in the U.S. has already been harvested. And so now the projects that we work on today are more complex, they're more technical, and it takes more engineering brain power to solve these problems.
I never thought of it like that before, and the example I used to always give is the publishing world, to where my last couple years, my first couple years into the publishing world was like the last years of the light boards and where they actually laid out the pages before computers took over. And I was always grateful that I had those couple years of the manualness behind the industry, because it allowed me to understand everything going forward. And this interview we're doing right now, if I had to, I can do my own editing, I can do my own writing, I can do my own synthesizing, I can do all of the things that all my employees can do, but they can't do it all like I can. But I relate that to having that kind of that broken down, pull the puzzle apart type of a thing, that knowledge, because I was able to witness it and be a part of it firsthand. With your last couple of years, like you mentioned, do you think that's why you have a very good understanding of this industry?
Yeah, you know, I've been fortunate to get a good breadth of experience over my career, and been fortunate to work on several exciting and innovative projects. And, you know, I love getting down into the details. I love understanding, you know, the fine details of every project. And, you know, it's been an exciting career, and that's just part of what engineers do. They break down the problem into different parts that can be solved individually to solve the greater problem.
I know. I used to joke because I used to lay out the magazine back in my magazine days, and to me it was like playing Tetris. Just put the blocks together to make it fit, and that's about as breaking it down as it can get. So anyway, let's transition here a little bit. And what's going on next for you guys? Are you guys you guys looking for any business? Do you got enough business to satisfy you for a while? Are you looking at any other new plays, that sort of thing? What's next for you guys?
Yeah, so we feel like we've got pretty good coverage in the Rockies as far as getting our name out there and name recognition, especially on the completion side. We're going to expand, you know, our reach to the drilling side here in the Rockies, but we're looking to grow our company down into Texas and Oklahoma and capture some of the activity in the Permian and then also the stack and scoop plays. And so we're actively recruiting people that can work for us in those areas, and we're also targeting customers in those areas as well.
Any final thoughts? Anything you want to reiterate? Anything we forgot to mention, or anything that you feel that you should say, I guess, that sort of thing? I'd like to give guests kind of the final thought. That's why there's not a narrative by me, I guess. So floor is yours, sir.
Yeah, as you know, it's an exciting time to be in the oil and gas industry right now. And, you know, there's a lot of technology, a lot of innovation going on. We're doing more with less today. And, you know, Which One Consultants is excited to be right in the thick of it. And we feel like we can add value to the bottom line with our experience. We do a very thorough vetting process with any of the people that we bring on underneath our name, and to ensure that there aren't any concerns when an operator hires us to go to work. So we want to build a quality brand, and we want to be a brand that people can trust and count on.
To listen to the full-length interview with Darren Gullahan with Petroleum Consultants, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links can be found at thecrudelife.com. Just go ahead and click on the social media tab right there at our homepage. All right, my name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band. The past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
One of our programs was where we asked Eric Hatch to come in and speak to this group, and it ended up being a group of about 90 emerging leaders, and talk to them about leadership lessons. And Eric just did a phenomenal job of reaching out and talking about leadership from a very personal perspective. He is one of our best leaders in the community, talking about being vulnerable and what that has meant to him in his leadership journey.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching, or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
I'm Dan Jonason. I'm the director for the Souris River Joint Board. and I also serve as the Public Works Director for the City of Minot.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us here today. What we're talking about is kind of some of the flood control projects happening there with the Mouse River, the Souris River. And I mentioned earlier, I talked to Sean Sipma from a city alderman from Minot. I do have some background a little bit with it, kind of get some ins and outs of the infrastructure of the town, kind of how the river just went right down through the middle of town and all these kind of the obstacles that it seems that you would have based on what this project seems to provide the solutions to. So if you wouldn't mind, from your perspective, from your Public Works, I guess, how did we get to where we're at today from the flood? The flood was, I think, 2011, if my memory serves me right. Kind of what conversations were had? What was being talked about to bring us to where we're at today? I guess set the table of context, if you would.
Sure. After the 2011 flood, actually the State Water Commission and the Souris River Joint Water Board and the City of Minot worked together to come up with a preliminary engineering report or a report to base long-term flood protection off of. That was headed up by Barr Engineering and Ackerman Esfold. Like I said, they took a look at what would need to be built to protect not only the city of Minot, but the entire basin from an event that we saw in 2011. The typical flows through the Mouse River Valley, the 100-year flood event, is 5,000 CFS. In 2011, we saw 27,400 CFS, or cubic feet per second, coming through at the peak. So it was a huge event, something that's never been seen before, and with that, it triggered the need for, a higher level of flood protection through the Mouse River or Souris River Basin. So that report was completed in about February of 2012. And since then, we have been working to implement that plan. It's broken up into a lot of different phases because it's a very complex, very expensive plan, over $1 billion is the estimate to implement it. So the Souris River Joint Board has tried to tackle it, I guess, a piece at a time as funding is available.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this?
Nothing.
You need a raise.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we talk with North Dakota Governor and billionaire entrepreneur, Doug Burgum.
What's your vision for natural gas?
Well, again, like a lot of the shale plays, when you're in the heart of the Bakken and you know getting your peak oil production, you're also hitting producing a lot of gas. And as a country, we're producing so much gas that we're it's caused a depression in the prices. We're very fortunate that we've got a number of midstream companies that have made significant investments in North Dakota, and then there's a number of those that are planning expansions where they're met with the Oasis folks last week, and they were talking about how they're going to go from, processing, 80 million cubic feet a day to 345 million cubic feet a day. So it's like a quadrupling of their plant capacity. We know that there are other midstream producers that are looking at similar kinds of projects, because as we produce more gas, we've got an opportunity to do more value-added processing, here in state as it comes out of the ground. And that's another area where we have to continue to work on all the gas gathering lines to collect all that, because we've got some flaring goals that we've been making progress on as a state, but we're going to be challenged on those, and some of that comes down to working collaboratively with the landowners to make sure that we get the right kind of gathering lines in place, so we can gather the gas and make the investments for these midstream folks to be productive. One of the big challenges we have is in North Dakota is with Fort Berthold, which has got a set of federal regulations, mm-hmm. on tribal lands, plus the BLM land, and I would just say again, we're seeing an opportunity for, I think, a breakthrough with the new administration in Washington, with Secretary Zinke, who leads the Department of Interior, with Sonny Perdue, who's a former governor, who's running the Secretary of Ag, which controls U.S. Forest Service, which controls the national grasslands, which we have those federal lands in North Dakota. But to get these federal partners at the cabinet level working to try to help the tribes be more self-sufficient in their ability to develop energy. I mean, part of that is they've got to get the federal regulations. It takes much longer to permit something on tribal lands than it does on state land, and that's a disadvantage for the tribe. So when we were at the White House for Infrastructure Day, Vice Chairman Randy Phelan was there along with Brent Sanford and myself, and we were advocating along with him. We were advocating for the tribe, to saying the federal government, you've got to make sure that if you really view these tribes as sovereign nations, then you got to give them the ability to do more regulation than just having those tight federal regulations, which slow down, because we're flaring more gas on Fort Berthold than we are on state lands, in part because those federal regulations are not allowing us to get the permitting done, whether pipelines, gathering, whatever, to do that. So if people want to address the flaring issue, then we've got to address the bureaucracy that's creating the problem.
I remember David Williams with MHA Nation, and he said, what was it, 49 steps they had to take versus three. Mm-hmm. If you're a private landowner in North Dakota, it was like three steps.
Yep.
Versus they had to go through like 47 or 49, just to give the audience an idea of what Governor Burgum's talking about. North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum with us. Quality of life, Main Street USA, the changing Bakken culture. This has been one of your big talking points over the last several months for good reason. So let's talk about that a little bit. What's happening?
Well, I think it's one of the things that we're facing in the Bakken and across North Dakota is workforce issues. And the work we have, there's great jobs open across the state, high-paying jobs. How do you attract and retain people to come and do these jobs and not do it as a temporary workforce? And the way you do it is you build communities that are compelling enough that people want to put their roots down here, they want to bring their family here, they want to live here. And again, I think this is something that my running mate, Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford, former mayor of Watford City, really understands, because he understands the investments that it takes in a community to try to, whether it's schools, rec centers, vibrant, healthy main streets, opportunities for single family housing, multifamily housing, affordable housing for teachers and law enforcement. I mean, all the components it takes, daycare. These are all elements that it takes to create a community, and we want to have a comprehensive whole-of-government approach.
To listen to the full-length interview with North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Paper's telling new news. Witches flying around on broken rules.
The views music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band. And that concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week. Seems like no matter who I talk to in the world of business these days, people are telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what Jeff Schatz, superintendent of the Fargo Public Schools, has to say about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching.
I just thought that his story about how he talks about the struggles that he and his family went through and having children and how, you know, everybody has a hot mess and how do you deal with that in life. And I just thought that really resonates well with, you know, folks. And so I thought that would be a great message for everybody to hear. Well, then beyond that, I've also seen Eric do some of the other things that he does with emceeing and leading other types of things that he does. He does coaching, I know, with students where the principals have hired him to come in and do that. So I just extended that opportunity for him to be the MC too. He was very well received.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies. Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this?
Done
you
it.
Need a raise.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota, is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet. The Davis Refinery, a project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota.